Open your Bibles with me this morning to Isaiah chapter 30. I gave you a Bible. You already lose it. I'll give you another one. Sit down. I got you. I got you. There you go, sir.
Thanks, sir.
You're welcome, sir. Isaiah chapter 30. It's kind of interesting this week. Normally, Monday, I get up on Monday mornings and the Lord gives me a word for the week, and I'm so grateful that that's been going on for years. I get up Monday, I go in the office, and everything starts coming together. But this past Monday, I got in the presence of the Lord, and it just wouldn't come together, you know? So I just laid it aside and said, well, if it isn't coming, I'm not going to try to force something. And then I laid it aside, and Tuesday morning, the Lord took me in a totally different direction. And he laid this word in my heart, and on Tuesday morning, he laid the word sublime in my heart. And it's majestic, it's supreme. And, you know, what an awesome God that we serve that can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or even think. You know, sometimes we have a tendency to magnify our circumstances and our situations and make them bigger than the God we serve. And he was just reminding me of how supreme and how majestic he is. So he took me in his word to Isaiah chapter 30, beginning to read in verse number 8. He says, now go write it before them in a table and note it in a book that it may be for the time to come forever and ever. Amen. So as this word is spoken, it's continuing on. It's continuing on until he returns. It's going forever and ever. It's sort of like he said to Habakkuk. He told him to write the vision and make it plain that they that read it may run with it. Though it tarry, it shall not lie, it will surely come. And so as we're speaking this word of God and this word of God that Isaiah was prophesying, it's still going forth to you and I and to our hearing today. He said that in verse 9 that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us righteous things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits. In other words, what the people wanted to do is they wanted to hear what they wanted to hear. Amen. He said, get you out of the way, turn aside out of the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. Now here's the Lord's response. Wherefore thus saith the Lord, left saith the Holy One of Israel, because you despise this word and trust in oppression and perverseness and stay thereon, therefore this iniquity shall be to you as a breach ready to fall, swelling out in a high wall, whose breaking cometh suddenly at an instant. And he shall break it as the breaking of the potter's vessel that is broken into pieces. He shall not spare, so that there shall not be found in the bursting of it assured to take fire from the hearth or to take water withal out of the pit. For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning in rest shall ye be saved, and quietness and confidence shall be your strength, and ye would not. But ye said, no, for we will flee upon horses, therefore shall ye flee. And we will ride upon the swift, therefore shall they that pursue you be swift. 1,000 shall flee at the rebuke of one, at the rebuke of five shall ye flee, till ye be left as a beacon upon the top of a mountain and an ensign on the hill. And this is where I want to focus our attention this morning, on verse number 18. He says, and therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto you, and therefore he will he be exalted, and he have, excuse me. Let me read this again. And therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto you, and therefore will he be exalted, that he may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are they that wait for him. The title of this morning's message is, He is Sublime. And one of the three things I want to share with you today is He is compassionate, He is gracious, and He is just. Can we make a declaration together in the house of God? Can we lift our word together and repeat after me and say, I believe this is the written word of God. God wrote this word to me. I am what God's word says I am. I can have everything God's word says I can have. I can be who God says I can be. Today, I will hear God's word and my life will be changed. It will never be the same. Speak to me, Lord, your servant. I'm listening. My ears are open. My heart is attentive. Thank you, Jesus, for choosing me. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, we're so grateful for your word. And we're grateful that you sent your word here to accomplish what you sent it to do in this house today. Now, Father, I pray, Father God, that you speak through me, Father God. May the words that proceed out of my mouth bring edification, exhortation, and comfort to every hearer in the room. Just as the prophet of Isaiah, prophet said in Isaiah, Father God, send the angel to the altar. May he take them tongs and take those coals and place it, those coals upon these lips, because I'm a man of unclean lips. And may the words that proceed out of my mouth be straight from the throne of God. And when all is said and done, you'll receive the glory, the honor, and praise. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You know, so many times, he says in our text that the Lord will wait. Therefore, will the Lord wait? And so many times when I was praying and I was seeking the Lord, you know, and I was talking to the Lord and I was talking about the things that I was waiting for. And the Father responded to me. He said, I'm waiting for you. And some of the times when we're waiting for God to do something in our lives, he is saying, he is waiting for you and I. You know, when Jesus said, it is finished on the cross of Calvary, everything has been accomplished, and you and I have to learn to operate and move in the finished work of Calvary. Amen? So when I was looking at that, I was looking at how compassionate and loving the Father is that we serve, how he loves us so much. And Webster's defines compassion as sympathetic concern for the suffering of another with inclination to give help or support. Amen? That we have a God that's ready to support us. He's ready to keep us. He's ready to help us. He's our very present help in the time of need. So first, he is compassionate. Look with me in Psalm 78. Verse number 38, the word of God says, but he being full of compassion forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not. What a merciful God. Many a time he turned his anger away and did not stir up all his wrath. You know, I just see him as the long-suffering of God, the waiting on us, the waiting on you. How valuable and how important every last one of us is to the Father in heaven. You know, I was reminded, I'm often reminded in Luke chapter 15, if you look there with me, it's the story of the prodigal. And every time I read this account of the prodigal, I'm reminded of my own life. I'm reminded as a child how I was raised in the Word of God. I was raised in the church. But as a teenager, one day I made a decision that I was going to rebel against God. And I went as far as you could go. But my father still waited on me. My father still loved me. My father kept on calling me. And kept on, and there'd be times and times he'd call me and, you know, I didn't want to answer the phone. Probably one of the worst things that happened to men and women in communications was caller ID. All right. So sometimes you don't always answer the phone because you know who's calling. Amen. And sometimes in our rebellious state that we get in, we don't plan to be there. But I truly believe, I dedicated my life to the Lord when I was 12 years old, but I rebelled against Him. I walked away from Him. And I believe, and honestly believe, that if I'd have died when I was away from Him, that I'd be ended up in a different place than I'm going to end up today. But I got the call of God. He came into my room and called me and set me free, just like He's calling everyone in the room. He calls us. He's chosen us. He set us apart. And I'm reminded of this prodigal in Luke 15 that went and took his living and wasted it. The Bible says on riotous living. And he found himself in the pits. He found himself in that very low spot. And sometimes we have to get to that low spot till we see that we are better off in our Father's house than we are in the world. Sometimes we've got to come to that place to get that revelation and get that understanding. But what blesses my heart is what Jesus says in Luke chapter 15, verse 20. That the prodigal, he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto the father, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I'm no worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Amen. And what shows me in that picture, that even as I was running from the Lord, when I turned to answer the call, and when we turn to answer the call of God on our life, He'll come running to you. Amen. He'll come running to you and I. That's compassion. That's agape love. That's unconditional love. And nowhere does the Father condemn the prodigal. He received him as himself and blessed him. And God wants you to understand that once you let him come into your heart and life and you make him the Lord of your life, your past is removed. As far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered again. God's got great plans for you and your plans aren't looking back. Amen. I don't think I'm thankful for the Lord that salvation doesn't come with the rearview mirror. Amen. Now just imagine in life, if our future was the rearview mirror in our car and our past was the windshield, we surely would be running into a lot of things, wouldn't we? Amen. That's right. I was writing in Hebrew, headed upside down. Hallelujah. Turn me to Psalms 86. If faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, it's not if faith, Let me rephrase that. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Not if. There's no ifs, ands, and buts about it. Are you with me? Psalms 86, verse number 15. He says, "But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious and long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and truth." You know, that always reminds me when the word of God, it says the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, like some men count slackness, but he's long-suffered to usward. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. Amen? He is compassionate. So when I look at this majestic, supreme God, I see that he's a God that's full of compassion. And God doesn't miss anything that you're going through. There is not one thing that escapes his notice. When I look at this, I see that he is a gracious God. He is gracious. So look with me in Proverbs chapter 3. Verse number 1. Y'all don't care if I take this off, do you? It's kind of warm in here. Everybody smile. Everybody smile. Is anybody sick in the room? Does anybody have pain, discomfort? Everybody's whole in here? Come on, let's be real. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. God wants to do something in our presence today. Amen? We're not just here just to come together because it's what we do on Sunday. Amen? We're here because the word of God will be manifested. Okay? His word is alive and his word is active. I don't serve a dead God. You don't serve a dead God. Since we don't serve a dead God, his word is alive. It's active. Amen? So as this word is going forth, it's going forth to accomplish something. And in other words, every time the word goes forth, there's a demon that's bound. And the Lord knows what to say to every demon. The Lord knows what to say to every devil. Amen. He says in Proverbs chapter 3, he says this. He says, "My son, forget not my law, but let thy heart keep my commandments. For a length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thy heart." What do you do? What happens when you do that? "So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and of man. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not to your own understanding. All thy ways acknowledge him, and he'll direct thy path. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart for evil." Now, what does it do for you? "It shall bring health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones." Father, to these bones in the name of Jesus, we call them to mold together and mend together in Jesus' name. Strengthen in your power and might. Cancer has to bow to the name of Jesus. Cancer goes to the very marrow of the bone. When we trust the Lord with all of our heart and we lean not to our own understanding and in all of our ways we acknowledge him and he directs our path, those things have to bow to the matchless name of Jesus. Those things have to bow. I don't know about you, but we want to be strong and in good health. Hallelujah. Who wants to be strong and in good health in the room? Come on now. Amen. He sent his word to heal my disease. He is the Lord that healeth me. Amen. He says to you and I in Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8, verse Verse number 33. He says, hear instruction and be wise, and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watcheth daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. For whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. Hello? Hello? I don't know about you, but I'm blessed. Are you blessed? Are you blessed? In other words, God declares blessings on us. God declares divine favor on our lives because we're children of God. Amen? And we have to see it through the eyes of God, not in the eyes of this world. The adversary comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but God came to give us life and the abundance thereof. He gives you and I Zoe life. He gives us the fullness of life. By what? By His Word. His Word. I get that Word inside of me and all of a sudden it becomes. Amen? In other words, if I don't let it become in here, I'm not speaking it in truth. You know, there's an old dryer sheet or laundry detergent that used to be shouted out. Amen? Amen? You know, I get loud because I think the devil is deaf. How many times you've told the devil to get behind you and he didn't get behind you? Hello? Hello? I might get a little loud. When God spoke, everyone heard him. Hello? When Jesus spoke, there was 5,000 there and they all heard him and he didn't have a microphone. Hello? Hello? In other words, the adversary is trying to do things in your body and your mind and in your soul and your spirit. But God says, let God arise and the enemy will be scattered in Jesus' name. Amen? Are you with me? Hallelujah. Where was I? Well, the Word of God says in verse 36, I'm going to include this, but he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul, and they that hate me love death. Let me say this. The Apostle Paul said in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's not earned or deserved, for by grace we're saved by faith, that not of ourselves is the gift of God, not of works, lest any of us should boast. Amen? Amen. We serve a living God. And I was looking at this, look at me in Job chapter 33. Because what? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Verse number 26. The Word of God says that he shall pray unto God and he will be favorable unto him. And he shall see his face with joy and he will render unto man his righteousness. He looketh upon men and if any say, I have sinned and perverted that which was right and polluted me not, it polluteth me not. He will deliver his soul from going into the pit, and his life shall see the light. Lo, all these things work of God oftentimes with man, to bring back his soul from the pit and to be enlightened with the light of living. Amen? You know, Jesus says this to us, and God's word tells us to walk in the light as he is in the light. We have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Amen? In other words, we find that he is compassionate. Man, he is gracious. How many are thankful for the grace of God? Anybody? I'm so grateful for the grace of God. Amen? Unmerited favor. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. And he is just. How about 1 Peter chapter 3? I'm breaking in a new Bible. Verse 18. The word of God says, "For Christ also have once suffered for the sins of the just, for the unjust, that he might bring us to God and put to death in the flesh, but quickeneth by the Spirit." Zupoyo, we're made alive in Christ Jesus. Amen. And when I was thinking about this, he is a just God. And so the prophet Zephaniah "Well, Pastor, you sure speak a lot of word." Yep. We prayed that we would hear God speak. And every time the word is spoken, God is speaking. Hello? The prophet Zephaniah said in Zephaniah 3, verse number 5, he said, "The just Lord is in the midst thereof. He will not do iniquity. Every morning doth he bring his judgment to light. He faileth not, but the unjust knoweth no shame." In other words, God wants us to understand we're justified by faith, and we have peace with God through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And what Jesus says to you, and Jesus said to us in his word, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you." I'm walking in a relationship. I'm walking in unity with the Father according to his word. He said he will not do iniquity. It means that God is incapable of sinning or going against his word. Everything God said, it has to become. And the things that haven't taken place, we've seen 300 and some prophecies that were fulfilled alone, and the life, the birth, the life, and the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ that all came to pass that were written thousands of years ago. Amen. And there's not one word that will fall to the ground that will not be accomplished. Amen. In other words, when I get this word, I can take it to the bank. I have no idea, because I haven't been trained, to know if this is counterfeit or not. Sometimes money can look right to the eye, but it's really not money. And that's how the adversary comes in. He almost looks like the word. In other words, he'll take the word and he'll just twist it a little bit. Amen? And when you take it and you twist it out of where it is, then it doesn't have the effect. Amen? Yes. You going to repent? Thank you.
I said partnership with Blake.
You said what?
I said partnership with Blake. I said counterfeit.
That's counterfeit? Okay. You did say you wore your jacket today to preach, didn't you? Isn't that what you said? Mm-hmm. So what do you have to say? Huh? So what do you have to say?
It was Jesus.
There you go. That's the answer. See, if you don't know what to say, just say Jesus. If you don't know how to respond to the adversary, just say Jesus. When the world comes in and the enemy comes in like a flood, just say, Jesus. I can't, I don't know what to say, Pastor. We'll yell, Jesus. Hallelujah. The devil knows his name. Jesus scares him away. Amen. He'll scare him away, but he'll come back a different way. You know, he's not done till it's over with. Amen. Hallelujah. Where was I? Oh, yeah. Dusty was preaching. Thank you, Dusty. Look at me in John chapter 5. Smile and look at the one next to you and say, Jesus loves you. And so do I. Amen. Listen to what Jesus himself says. Listen to what he says. In John chapter 5, verse number 30. He said, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just. Because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which have sent me. We say, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In other words, you want to put the devil in his place, get along, and walk in the will of the Lord. Amen? Amen? One of the things the Father was speaking to me about when I was looking at him being sublime, Jesus said this to you and I, his children. He said, don't look at the mote or the speck in your brother or your sister's eye. Pull the plank out of your own. And the Lord says to us in Romans chapter 2, so turn me to Romans 2. We're talking about we serve a just God. And because he is just and we're in him, we're to walk and be justly. We're to be just to one another. Amen. And Romans chapter 2, verse number 1, the Word of God says, therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doest the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after thy hardness and impenitent heart treasures up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render every man according to his deeds. To them who by patient continuance and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life, but of them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and then to the Gentile. For there is no respect of persons with God. Amen? In other words, we're not coming in this place to judge anyone. Amen? That God has a call on everyone's life. His desire is that none would perish, but that all would come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We're not here to look and see what's wrong with you. Amen? Paul says, hey, who are we to judge anyone? We're here to share the love of God, share his mercy, share his grace. And we all grow in different levels, in different ways, in different measures. Amen? And everyone in this room is on a journey. And God says to you today, do not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season you will reap if you do not faint or you don't give up. Keep pressing in. Keep seeking him. Seek and you shall find. Ask and shall be given to you. Seek and shall find. Knock and the door shall be open. For everyone that asks receives, everyone that seeks finds, and everyone knocks, the door will be open. Amen? So as we're looking at this today, the Word of God says in Romans chapter 1, verse number 17, we'll go to 16. The Apostle Paul says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. You know, one of the things that really blessed my heart when I was looking at this sublime God, this majestic, supreme God that we serve, that he loves us so much, that he's compassionate towards you and I, that he's a God that's gracious. Excuse me, I lost my thought. He's gracious towards you and I, but he is also a just God. Amen. And he said, blessed are they that wait for him. You know, and if you look with me in Isaiah chapter 25, in closing today, verse number 8. And the Word of God says, and he will swallow up death in victory. And the Lord God will wipe away all tears from off all faces. And the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off the earth, for the Lord hath spoken it. And it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is our Lord. We have waited for him. And we will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. You know, what is the Lord saying to you and I in closing today? He wants us to recognize and understand that he's a compassionate God, that he loves you. He loves you right where you're at, but he loves you and I so much, he doesn't want you to stay there. That he's gracious. And you know, when I think about grace, I think of it an elegance, graceful. I can't walk gracefully. I stomp when I walk. But he's a gracious God. And his grace is abounding to each and every one of us that are gathered here today. No matter where you're at, no matter what you've done, God loves you so much. And he wants you to understand, he wants you and I to understand that when he was on the cross, you were on his mind. That he has a plan and a purpose for every last one. But he's a just God. There is not one word that will return unto him void. His word accomplished everything that he sent it to do. And God sent his word today to accomplish something in every heart and every life. That thing that you've been waiting for the Father for, he says, I've been waiting for you. Hello? I've been waiting for you. He's waiting on us to respond, to stand, to be the men and women that he's called you and I to be. I don't know about you, but if it's no longer I that's living, but Christ that's living in me, there's something that's different in that life. Things don't look the way they used to look. Old things pass away, and behold, all things become new. And God wants to do something new in every one of our hearts and lives. But the key is, will we allow Him to? Bow your heads and let us pray.